It's that time again.
Watch out.
Here it comes.
Watch out.
Here it comes.
Watch out.
Courtside Podcast. I'm your host, Tank McCoy, and with me, the People's
the
Champ, Vin Rock. Vince, welcome back to the show, buddy.
Oh, marvellous to be back.
Woo! How's the wind up there?
Oh, it's windy. The water's wet and the wind is windy.
Talking about wind, talk about causing a stir. We finally brought to an end last week our top 10 list. Man, am I glad those lists are over. Always controversy, always a lot of laughs, a lot of looking at the stats. The Courtside members, thank you for all your feedback, and I hope you enjoyed those shows. But the demand for a pre-season show, a look into the Courtside crystal ball, if you will. We're going to look at each division, guys. We're breaking down the Atlantic Division today in playoff bound or lottery sound. I'm excited.
Yes, so am I.
You sound excited.
I am excited. I just don't show it.
So let's kick it off with the New York Knicks.
Yes, let's.
Coming in for the Knicks this season, Andre Bargnani, world peace. Beno Udrich, Tim Hardaway Jr., the rookie. Jeremy Tyler and CJ Leslie. Obviously, Jason Kidd retiring at the end of the season and now head coach of the Brooklyn Nets. Marcus Camby moving on. Novak, Kurt Thomas, Wallace and James White. I just have one question, Vince. Is this team better than last year?
Very good question. I'm just going to say they took a sideways step.
I'm a little confused. I mean, do they feel like a contender? That's what I keep coming up with the Knicks. Like, am I overlooking something?
I don't feel like they're a I don't feel like they're a true contender.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I do like, I guess, some of the moves they've made. Look, I just think they've got they brought in a nice steady point guard in Beno Udrih, who's also capable of bust out games.
On occasion.
On occasion. And he also gives them a different look to what Raymond Felton can give them.
Raymond Felton reportedly looking pretty good this year. Finally dropped a few donuts off the waist and...
If you could just contact me and tell me how he did it, I'd be grateful. Novak was a really good outside shooter, but haven't really lost anything with Bargnani coming in. Yeah, metal world peace will give him D. He's not what he used to be on the defensive end, but, you know, he still plays D. And when he's left open for three, he is quite deadly.
I mean, he has a championship pedigree now. You know, coming from LA, I mean, look, they won the chip. He was a big part of that. I don't think anyone can deny that. Yeah, he can be a bit of a nutcase, but he's definitely going to bring something to the table.
Most places he's gone, he's won, apart from Sacramento. But, look, yeah, I just think you're going to get the same old, same old. I think it's a sideways step. Like I've said, in the past, they're missing a post. The post-up guy, but Bargnani doesn't give them that at all. He's weak on the boards.
It's funny you say that, because I was listening to some Mike Woodson interviews, and he talked about Amari Stoudemire. And I still feel he's a little bit of an X factor for this Knicks team, and I think you'll find them probably trying to put him on the post a bit more.
But he doesn't really have a post game.
I think he's got a bit of a back-to-basket move. I mean, it's not, you know, anything the extent of Al Jefferson, but, you know, I actually liked what I heard from Woodson, because he talked about, you know, not just relying on the outside shot.
A big question mark I've got is the locker room and health.
I think they'll be all right in the locker room.
Really? Have you seen the weird and wonderful personalities
Look,
in there?
I know they paid J.R. Smith, and he feels at times he can go one way or the other, but when you look at that roster, essentially, they brought back the core.
Yeah, they have.
I mean, they didn't totally, you know, blow the side out of this Knicks team and, you know, try and rebuild on the cheap. I mean, they brought back the bulk of the core. I think injuries hurt him a lot last year as well.
Yeah, I worry. Like, Carmelo's not a durable player. Amare certainly isn't.
I mean, you had Shumpert coming back from injury last year. I like the addition of Cole Aldridge.
Oh, nah, he's poo.
I reckon he might get some minutes.
He won't even stick.
Really?
Nah, he won't stick. And apparently the word is his knees are pretty terrible. So he and Amara can swap stories, but...
Zing!
That locker room, mate. I mean, you've got World Peace, Kmart, JR, Amare. Carmelo can even be a bit of a diva. You just bring in a box of Cheerios and you'll crack it.
You know, looking ahead next season and this Knicks team, I suppose my biggest question mark is, well, you know, other than the injuries, you know, if they can manage to stay healthy with this new roster, with the new lineup, are they better than Indiana? Are they better than Miami?
Well, I don't think they're better than Miami. And honestly, with the moves that Indiana's made, I don't think they're better than Indiana. I think Indiana will beat them in a series easy. I just think Indiana will beat them up.
You know, watching the playoffs last year, I just felt they lacked that. It was kind of weird, you know. They finally, and I wouldn't say convincingly, you know, took out the Celtics in the playoffs. But they finally got off over that hump. I mean, that had to feel good, but I just feel like, I don't know how Knicks fans feel about their team last year in that Indiana series, but I kind of feel like mentally they just kind of checked out of that series. Is that fair? Is that a fair comment?
Look, I don't think they mentally checked out.
I mean, J.R. Smith certainly wasn't himself during that series, you know, whether it be the late night partying or whatnot, but...
I think I can't remember who I said it to. It might have been you or it might have been just another mate of mine. I just felt like they played their best ball the wrong part of the season. Come the point end of the season, they weren't playing their best basketball. And I think Indiana were. Yeah, but look, sideways move for me, and they are playoff bound. But not championship.
Any sort of prediction on the round?
Look, I'm going for a... Second round
exit.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think they get past the second round.
That won't be good enough for Knicks fans.
Yeah, well, they're not going to be a championship for a while.
I've got one more sort of topic I just want to touch on with you just before we bounce off the Knicks, and that is, am I overlooking the Bargnani signing? I mean, a lot of people have pooed it, to use the technical term. But I also think a lot of people haven't watched Bargnani play when he was healthy in Toronto. I mean, he does have the ability to hit the outside shot and hit it consistently. The biggest knock on him is his rebounding and defense. But he's certainly going to spread the floor for him. He's certainly quite a decent player when he's healthy and going. I mean, he had, you know, some great stretches there last year before the injuries.
But who's he going to spread the floor for? Tyson Chandler? I know Carmelo posts up a little, but it's just the wrong piece for them. They should have gone for an Al Jefferson. And I'm sure Al Jefferson would have signed there.
Mm.
But, you know, the worst thing that happened to Bargnani was he went number one in the draft.
Melo kind of touched on that, you know, in an interview today where he said, well, you know, it's not even a factor anymore. Like, you know, there's no pressure on him now in New York. The pressure's on Melo.
Yeah, look, that's a really good point by Melo, but you're not going to win a championship, or it's much harder to win a championship without a dominant low post guy.
Yeah.
Or a guy who can score in the post, and that's just not Barg.
Well, I've got them playoff bound as well. I don't know, just they didn't convince me in the playoffs. They really didn't convince me. They could have quite easily lost that series against Boston, and considering where that Boston team was at, you know, considering they didn't have, you know, a healthy Rondo, considering that... You know, that Boston was throwing all these minutes on the back of KG and Pierce. I just wasn't convinced by the closeout.
Well, do you think if Boston had a healthy Rondo, they get past New York?
I really do.
Yeah, I don't see that. I think...
Well, what I believe is that when they wore the all black, you know, to the Boston funeral, the passing of the Boston Celtics, and they come and they got thumped, I just think that extra motivation, I don't really feel like Boston just ran out of steam in that final game. And I think they had a player like Rondo, someone who's going to, you know, more of a offensive threat. I could quite easily see Boston coming through. I just wasn't convinced by the closeout. That's all I'm saying.
I find it interesting you're raving on about Rondo. You had him, what, seventh? Oh, you. See, this is why you shit me still.
And we move along now to the Brooklyn Nets. The Brooklyn Nets, of course, this year making the big trade, the win now trade, if you will, bringing in Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, Jason Terry, AK-47, my man Alan Anderson, Sean Livingston, Mason Plumlee, the rookie, and shipping off Gerald Wallace, Keith Bogans, Marshawn Brooks, Chris Humphreys, and Damon James.
wow, what a trade, and win now.
It's the win now trade, right?
Absolutely, but don't think it's going to happen for him.
Really?
Championship? No.
Really?
Yeah, I know you're high on it.
I just think you're sleeping on this team.
Well, no, I'm wide awake on them because I know that, you're too high on them.
I tell you what, man, they're going to finish first in the Atlantic.
Yeah, that's fine. Still not winning a championship.
I'm telling you, man, I think you're sleeping on this team.
Look.
I can't believe you.
KG and Pierce have an awesome resume. They've won championships together, all the championship together. There's MVP trophy in there. But, man,
We're talking about championships, Vince.
That only happens in LA. You know what I'm really worried about? There's just something in the back of my mind that's telling me KG's played a year too long now.
Wow.
You know me, McCoy, I'm a vibes man. That's the vibe I'm getting.
The hairs on the back of the neck are sticking up?
Look, I hope I'm wrong because I love KG, but yeah, I looked at the roster and these guys are loaded.
Not just, a solid starting five. I really like what they've done with the bench.
Oh, that's actually in my notes, actually. They are deep. They've got a bit of depth. But, I guess another question, apart from age and health, is can Jason Kidd get all this talent on the same page?
You bring that up. That is probably my biggest question mark. I mean, we've already heard the early reports of his little interview with KG not going so well.
Hello, I haven't heard that.
You haven't heard that? Well, apparently Kidd had a little sit-down or meeting, if you will, with Kevin Garnett about, reduced minutes.
But hang on. Didn't KG say, I can't play 35 minutes a game anymore?
Well, look, I'm not sure what the number of minutes, but KG replied, came out and said that, the meeting didn't go too well. He feels like he's played enough and accomplished enough in his career that, he can not so much demand that sort of respect, but have that say and have that feedback too. I don't know. I just don't know if Jason Kidd really knows what he's got himself into.
Lucky he's got Lawrence Frank next to him.
I'm telling you, I just don't. I know they're all saying the right things, and I know.
See, you've got that feeling as well.
This is my only one question mark. I only have one question mark with him, and that's Jason Kidd.
You've still got that feeling in the back of your mind.
I think every team has that, though. Every team's got a question mark or two. But for me, it just comes down to Kidd and what's going to happen if they do go on a losing streak. How is he going to reel these guys in? How much of a load is actually going to be Jason Kidd? And I just don't see him as a head coach. Well, I won't say that because I see that, I suppose, but I just don't see him. I just don't see him as a championship coach right now.
You'd be more comfortable if you'd known he's done an apprenticeship somewhere.
Yeah. I just don't think everyone can jump into that position. And I really don't feel like you can say because he's a point guard, that's going to make him a great coach. Some people are just great players. It's like telling someone that they can't paint because they've never been to art school.
Yeah, well, you got to remember, not everyone's as good as Mark Jackson, but...
that's a valid point. I don't think we can expect Kidd to come in and do the job that...
It has happened before. Like, Rudy Tomjanovich never came before.
Sure, but,
Granted, he had a keen.
The thing I think that Kidd has in his favour is his lineup. He's not dealing with a whole bunch of rookies. I mean, really, look at that squad. I mean, they're all vets. They've all been there, done that, players. They're all, at the stage where they're prepared to give up stats for the greater cause.
See, if I'm Jason Kidd, I'm devoting time to Lopez, Kirilenko, Livingston, Joe Johnson, because you're going to turn around and say, well, KG's been here before. They've been on the journey. They've won a title. Same with Pierce. Same with Jet. You don't have to worry about those vets. So don't step on their toes. You step on their toes, it's going to go to shit. But what's he going to do if Paul Pierce says, fourth quarter's me time. If there's a game to be won, I'm shooting the ball.
I think he played it smart and already addressed that. They come out and said that, if that situation was to arise, that, their man's Joe Johnson. Right or wrong, whether you agree with that or not, I think he sort of nipped that in the bud.
Yeah, see, I don't think it is nipped in the bud.
Mm.
Because I think a guy like Paul Pierce, he's going to say, no, it's me. You bought me and KG here to win a championship. Like, he should be saying, okay, Paul, you want the ball in the fourth, you're getting it. Like, Pierce is the one that's been there and done it.
I just think he's got to...
Joe Johnson's never been near it.
I just think when he gets to that, he's got to be clear. He's got to be decisive. He can't on the moment.
But see, when they got the thing, I was like, when they did the trade and pulled this thing off, one of my first thoughts was, well, they've got a legit go-to guy now.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even think about Joe Johnson taking a shot to win it. Like, it's for me, it's if I'm coaching, Paul Pierce is my guy taking a shot to win it or getting him going in the fourth quarter if he wants to try and carry the team. I'm not going to Joe Johnson.
How about this? How about just having them both on the court and having the options? I mean, really, the shot breaks down, then, you know, you have a bailout option.
Yeah, look.
And that's the thing with this Brooklyn team. I feel like they have that at nearly every position.
Yeah, I agree with you. I just, yeah, look, it's a real delicate situation for Jason Kidd, and I'm glad he's got Lawrence
Frank beside him. I've actually got two little X factors for this squad as well.
Yep.
One's Andre Blatch, who comes back off a solid year. Really feels like, you know, he proved himself last year. He's got his head on his shoulders. You know, he feels a little bit more comfortable within his game. He caused a lot of teams trouble last season.
Yeah, he's very solid, isn't he? I remember a few years ago they started calling him the poor man's Kevin Garnett.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't mind Andre Blatch. He's quite handy.
And then my other X factor is a guy that I know a lot of you probably haven't heard of. I know of him because I watched a ton of Toronto games last year, and that's Alan Anderson, who I think is really going to surprise some people. He's a really smart player, can get hot, can hit from outside. And I just think, Brooklyn fans, you're going to love this kid.
Is he your new Ivan Johnson?
I'm not going to jinx him. Because Johnson isn't in the league right now, so...
Oh, isn't he really?
No. No. He went overseas this year.
So you stuffed him up, didn't you?
I didn't give him the Hank jinx, I swear. I swear, that doesn't exist.
Mental note, if I ever make the NBA, don't be a fan. You'll end my career after a year.
Well, look, let's take the punt. The Brooklyn Nets, playoff bound or lottery sound?
Big time playoff bound.
How deep? Eastern Conference Finals?
No, I don't think so.
What?
I really don't.
What?
I'll get through the first round. Oh, I think second round.
Wow.
Yeah, I just don't. I'm not feeling it.
They have The thing about the Nets is I think that even if one of those guys goes down, they've still got enough. Are they better than New York?
They're definitely older. man, on paper they are, but New York's been together 2 years, this group.
Okay.
It's tough to call, but I just don't see them getting past Indiana. I don't see them getting past Miami.
Wow.
I don't see them getting past Chicago.
Wow. I'm going Eastern Conference Finals.
Oh, I knew you would because you're high on them.
I'm going Eastern Conference Finals, man. I think that you're not talking about like a throw-together team, you know, of young guys. You know, you're talking about vets. And I think, you know, if the Spurs showed us anything last year, it's like you just can't count these old guys out.
Okay, you're right. But this isn't the San Antonio franchise.
I totally...
This ain't Coach Pop.
But... In saying that, look at the caliber of these players. I mean, look, I agree with you on the coach part. Like, I'm totally with you on that. I'm not convinced by Jason Kidd. And I don't know if it's the right signing for a team that wants to win in the next 2 years.
If you're Mikhail Prokhorov, whatever his name is, would you have just called Phil Jackson? And
yes.
Here's 15, because he doesn't mind throwing his billions around. Here's 15 million here for 2 years. A 2 year window to win a title. I'm telling you, Phil's taking it.
I tell you what, he's not taking that, but I tell you what he is taking. He's taking this phone call. Phil, we're going to pay you. We've got a ridiculously deep team, including some future Hall of Famers. We want you to coach for 2 years, and after that, we want you to bring you into the head office.
Okay, here's your problem. His fiance is Jeannie Buss. She's not going to, she'll allow him to coach. No way will she allow him.
Well, look, all I'm saying is Phil was taking calls throughout the season. He was definitely seeing what was available because, hey, he didn't feel very wanted in LA earlier in the year.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, at that time when they were making those decisions, I think if Brooklyn would have thrown the line, I think Phil would at least take the call and listen.
Phil's got a price. Phil would have coached for 2 years, and it's got to be more than $10 million a year.
But yeah, I think. But you said like Prokhorov would have paid that. Like,
bloody oath. That's why I'm saying I would have made the bloody call.
One last question on Brooklyn before we bounce. Who does KG make cry first? is it the rookie Plumlee or?
He's probably the only rookie that's going to get some minutes.
Yeah.
Or Andre Blatch, I reckon.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Might be some tears in the locker room, in the corner, in the shadows.
Yeah, because I think he'll try and push Andre a bit. Yeah, I can see definite tears.
We move now to the Green Army, that is the Boston Celtics. Wow.
Yeah, this is just a schmozzle, really.
Wow. Additions, they bring in the rookie Kelly Olynyk, Jura Wallace, Chris Humphries, Keith Bogans, Marshawn Brooks, and Phil Pressey, obviously packing their bags, Kevin Garnett, a very surprised Paul Pierce, Jason Terry, Fab Melo on the way out, and DJ White. I'm a little confused right now.
What are you confused about? They're tanking.
It's a little sad.
Well, no, all teams go through it, mate. It's going to happen to every team. It happens to every team.
Do you feel like the only reason why Rondo's still there is because, well, maybe partly because of injury, but because they couldn't get the right price for him?
Absolutely. They're waiting until he's fit and firing. Then they're going to shop him around. Why would you trade him now with his stocks a little down with that knee injury? The minute he comes back and shows everyone that he's still the same old Rondo, Ainge's taking phone calls and making calls. And don't be surprised if it's for picks too, because, you know, he might get a player back, but for picks, because the draft is apparently deep as, so, and they're rebuilding.
The draft's weak. Everyone says the draft's weak every single year. I don't want to hear any rubbish out there that we've got a strong draft this year, because apparently every year it's weak.
So you're saying it's weak? half this roster won't even be here next season. I mean,
I'm telling you, Gerald Wallace does not want to be there.
No.
He does not want to be there. I loved his statement. He's so classy, though. I loved his statements. You know, he's there to help win games, you know, just like he was when he was in Charlotte. That's the whole feel he gets there. So, in other words, he's saying he's on a poo team. And he can't wait to get traded. He does not want to be there, Ben. I mean, he wasn't even there for the press conference when they first... He made sure... I'm sure he switched the dates for the Gerald Wallace camp to, you know, coincide.
That wasn't a press conference. That was a wake. See the look on their faces?
That was a Chris Humphries, and Marshawn Brooks was the only happy guy there.
Yeah, because he's...
Keith Bogans and Humphries are looking at each other like, what the hell are we still doing here, man? You're right. You're dead on the money. It's, you know, it's rebuild time for Boston. This is what happens when, you know, you make trades to win now. You know, Brooklyn's going to go through it in a couple of years as well. So don't feel so left out. But, you know, they made the big trade in 2008 and they pulled it off that first year. You know, and they're in the thick of it since then. But probably played a season or two too long.
Yep, which they always do with their superstars, Boston.
Danny Ainge has got to be hard to pull the plug on, you know, the caliber of guys. But it's obvious that those guys weren't ready to hang it up, so... You know, he's got to do what's best by the fans as well. The only guys I really see staying on, like, I think you'll see some moves through the year. I really can't see Rondo still there.
No, I
think he's gone by All-Star weekend, to be honest.
Yeah, if he's playing well, maybe he's sooner rather than later.
He's going to be dangerous because if he goes, he could really change the landscape.
Could you see him just land in Indiana?
Well, I'm glad you said that. Because Indiana's the one team to me that feels like they need, you know, an all-star point guard. They need that's the position that I feel they need to feel the most to take him over the top.
Well, he's perfect, really, isn't he? Because he doesn't need to score.
Well, as I said to you, you know, like for about two seasons, I've been saying that Chris Paul should sign with Indiana. Like, you know, he'd fit perfectly. But you know what? He sealed his fate in Clipperland.
It's not like George Hill is terrible. Like George Hill is a decent point guard.
Not at all, but he'd be a fantastic backup.
Absolutely, spelling Rondo.
If he was doing in Indiana what he was doing out in San Antonio, you know, not losing anything when the subs come in. I mean, that's a pretty powerful key to have.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I digress. We need to get back to Boston. Look, the only guys I really see staying is Jeff Green. I think they'll hang on to him a bit longer. I'm interested to see what happens with Brandon Bass. But I do feel he'll be moved on. Marshawn Brooks, I think, will finally get his chance to shine in Boston. I think the fans will really like him.
Yeah, I think he'll stick, like, even after this coming season.
And then Avery Bradley, I just don't know. I just feel like that... I feel like Avery Bradley could be had for a price.
Yeah, maybe, I think Ainge really likes Bradley.
Maybe a high price, though. Maybe a high price, but a price all the same.
Yeah, I don't think he's going anywhere soon.
Question marks for Boston, Vince?
Look, the coach, I'm sure he's a very good coach. Has he got respect? Can he handle these NBA egos? And also, will he see out the rebuilding process?
Will he last?
Yeah, is he there just to take the hit, you know, like the losing seasons, and when they accumulate more talent, Ainge just pulls the trigger and gets someone a bit more high profile and more successful, you know? Like, is he a lame duck coach, I guess is what I'm saying.
Great question, Mark. You pretty much covered everything I had on him. So, I mean, Brad Stevens, man, look, he's, you know, what he's done so far in the college ranks, you know, to this stage is great and all, but, you know, they're reshaping this Boston franchise now. Whether he likes it or not, the pressure's on.
Yeah, look, he'll get that 1 year's grace.
Yeah.
It'll help if they're competing every night. I know BG hates that. But it would help, but, you know, if it's 2-3 years in a rebuilding process and it's something similar to the Patino years, fans are going to riot.
Yeah. I mean, look, they're going to really love Gerald Wallace out there.
Yeah.
The Boston fans are going to fall in love with Gerald Wallace, I tell you. But I think Gerald Wallace is going to be really disappointed if he has to play a game out there. But
I've got news for him. He's playing. Yeah, look out if they don't get Wiggins. You know, the fans will know that this is why... Yeah, the two stars were traded.
I honestly think that they shouldn't be resting their ping pong balls in that basket. I honestly think, you know, you have one of the top 10 point guards in the league with Rondo. Just get something back for him.
Yeah, I think he will, but, you know...
Hey, send him to OKC for Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, that's... Not yet. He and KG will start blowing very soon.
I think all the listeners went, what? Everyone's back listening now.
did I say KG? I mean KD and Westbrook will start blowing.
Well, look, time will tell, but, you know...
Can I just do a side note on that? You want to hear my latest prediction where KD is going to end up?
Durant?
Yep.
Where?
I have a guess.
He's not going to LA.
He will end up in... Our next two superstars will be Love and Durant.
You're mad.
Nah,
what? Come on, man.
I'll explain it another time, but yeah.
That's madness. Look, I just think, look, I'm not even going to... stump me. Thanks. Well, let's end the execution, Vince. We've talked long enough about this Boston rebuilding team. Playoff bound or lottery sound?
Big time lottery.
How many games do you reckon they'll win?
20.
Wow, really?
22 tops? 25 tops.
All right, I always like gauging this. Do you think they're better than Orlando?
No.
Wow, not even better.
No, I think Orlando's...
on the up and up?
Just a little bit better, yeah.
Are they better than the Bucks?
No.
Ooh.
No, they're not better than the Bucks. Well, you look at the Bucks; they've got...
Yeah, I like that Bucks team. Let's not get into them. Let's save it. Don't let the cat out of the bag, Wins. Save it.
All right.
Let's move now to the Philadelphia 76ers.
Another exciting team.
A rough year for Philly fans. I mean, first, they make the big trade and they get a scarecrow on the bench. The big Bynum. The Bynum bust. I mean, look, Bynum never touches the floor. And then they go ahead and surprise everyone. After giving him his max deal, they trade away Drew Holiday.
Madness. Outrageous.
But they do bring in Nerlens Noel, Michael Carter-Williams, obviously the point guard of the future, Darius Morris, Royce Wyatt, Tony Rotten Jr., and Darius Morris. I said Darius Morris twice, didn't I?
Sure did.
Yippee! And let's not forget Brett Brown, new head coach.
Which is a move I like.
You like it?
Could have done worse.
Well, Brett Brown's not too happy right now.
Oh, do tell.
Just because I think Philly are actually playing in maybe Europe, I think, preseason.
Okay.
Doesn't feel like the guys are up to scratch, and has, you know, had to sort of come back a couple of steps in where he wanted the team right now. You know, be whether it's an injury or what have you. You know, obviously, I don't think Nerlens Noel is going to be ready, you know, for tip-off, but, you know, maybe not so far off that either.
I honestly struggled to find improvements here.
Not better than last year?
No, I don't think so. They've brought in a lot of youth. They've still got some veterans.
Yep.
Unfortunately, they've still got Spencer Hawes, and it's not a contract year, or is it? Not sure.
I'll tell you, sign that guy to one-year deals every year.
Yeah, that's it. But hopefully all the youth means that they have an improved record in the next few years. Mm-hmm. I can't say they're better than last season, because I want to see Carter Williams in a year or two. I want to see what Nerlens Noel is doing.
Yeah, I mean, Carter Williams is going to have a lot of turnovers.
Yeah, and, you know, you're just going to get that with a rookie, aren't you, at the point? You're going to give him the ball. And
in saying that, you know,
run the club.
I think he's going to be one of the better scoring rookies in you know, this year as well. You know, there's got to be a little bit of give and take with him, you know. He's obviously been given the reins, so...
Yeah, let's Philly fans, don't be too harsh on him.
I kind of like it, though. I kind of think, in a sense, Vince, you know, they are better than last year. And I say that in the sense of, as far as direction and where this team is heading now, I don't know, it feels like, you know, some of the clouds have moved a little bit. You know, even with the adding of Bynum last year, it still feel a little murky as far as where this team was really headed. I mean, yes, a healthy Bynum would have changed everything, but, you know, that doesn't go through. They make the, you know, they trade Iggy away. I don't know. I just kind of feel like they still have some things now. Things are easily molded now. You know, they're no longer a team that's, you know, fighting for 7th, 8th seed in the East now.
Yeah, look, I don't dislike the moves they've made. I always like to, you know, try and build through the draft and getting youth. But can Evan Turner and Thaddeus Young carry this ball club?
Well, they become the vets, right?
Yep. You know, is Nerland's knee going to hold up? Will he put on enough size to bang with the big boys down low? Can Royce White just do something, Royce, instead of pissing and moaning all the time? Oh, man. He's just collecting a paycheck, and he's because he doesn't want to fly. There's just too many ifs, I'm afraid.
Can we talk about the elephant in the room?
Go for it.
Jason Richardson?
he can't work out.
Hey, there's things you can do.
Like what?
You can get into the pool. There's things you can do. You can control your eating. There's a lot of things you do. He looks big.
So he's not, he won't be doing a 360 dunk anytime soon. Unless it's off the top of a fridge.
Unless it's a 360 donut. Wowzers, I really feel for the guy because I'm a bit of a Jay Rich fan, I've got to admit, but wow, man, he packed it on. I know he's hitting his, you know, starting to hit the twilight years now, but yeah, maybe the, maybe he looked at the roster, you know, after he came out from the ACL injury and went, ah, we're tanking anyway.
Beginning of the end for Jay Rich?
I just hope he can come back and become productive. I think that they probably need to look to move him on, because I think that moving him on to, you know, someone who's a team that's contending or in the playoffs, I think that'll give him the extra motivation to get back into it. But, I mean, yeah, it's a little bit rough with the ACL injury, but, I mean, come on. Come on, man. Come on. Come on now. That's some serious bulking.
What is he, 31, 32?
Yeah, he's, you know, his legs aren't quite the same, you know.
Yeah, you probably don't want to be doing a knee at 32, do you?
I mean, even when he was in Phoenix, he became that, you know, that outside shooter. You know, they tried it in Orlando, and, I mean, geez.
But doing your knee at that age.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to come back from.
Adding 50 pounds on top of it, it's probably not the way to go about rehab. Yeah, it's, look, like, it's probably the beginning of the end, really.
Let's not sour Philly fans right now. It's going to be a long season. I mean, Evan Turner becomes their, you know, I suppose their top offensive player. Yeah, which I think he's capable of doing. You know,
also Thad Young.
Thaddeus Young. I really love that kid.
Yeah, would look great in Lakey Yellow.
Oh, God. Give
Give it a rest.
I'm hungry for a championship.
Oh, Jesus.
We're talking championships, baby.
Talking championships, baby. Look, let's talk about Noel.
It's not.
Let's talk a little bit about him. Defensively, where do you think he's at? If you could compare him to maybe another NBA player, you know, where do you think he's at?
Oh, wow. I'm not sure. Who do you compare him to?
Maybe a healthy Camby.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Like a strong weak side defender. I mean, he's going to get up and down the court. I mean, I don't think the, you know, I know that everyone's going to throw the red flag up on the injury now, but I think he'll bounce back from that. You know, he's young enough.
Yeah, yeah. By all reports, there's no doubt he'll bounce back.
I'm just more interested in the size. When Noel's healthy, I'm more interested in the size of this team.
I want to see him. Look, we all know he can play D and block shots and rebound, but I want to see him. He's got to develop something on the offensive end. You know, look, even if he turns out to be like a Tyson Chandler, I mean, there's nothing to scoff at, really.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, you don't like the comparison to Tyson Chandler.
No.
You're a hater.
I'm not a hater.
Tyson Chandler.
I'm not.
Brings the goods, mate.
I'm not convinced. I'm just not convinced.
Sorry to tell you.
Chandler
brings the goods.
I'm sorry. Was he in your top 10 this year?
No, but he has been. He was last year.
Yeah, I had him in there as well.
Listen, you talking crap. You're talking up Rondo like he's a superstar, which he is. And you have him at number 7, did you? Or 5? Or
hey, he six. Made my top 10, Vince. He made my top 10. So how can I snub a guy if he made my top 10?
No, but you made your list. Oh, he's not that good. He's a superstar. Make up your bloody mind, McCoy.
I didn't say superstar.
I did. No, look, what's wrong with Noel turning out like a Chandler?
Nothing at all.
I mean, it'd be highly, highly desirable for most teams.
Yeah.
To your answers.
Look, is there anyone who really intrigues you on this squad, though? I mean, look, it's going to be a rough year for Philly fans. My hat's off to you guys. You've gone from mediocre to rebuild, but, you know, for the right reasons.
Look, a real smoky, like, I mean, murky, smoky guy, Royce White.
Ooh.
If he can just get on the court, I think he could help this ball club.
I tend to agree a little bit.
But he has...
He's got some issues, man.
He does.
He needs to sort them out, because it'd be a real shame if he never played a game.
Yeah, come on, Royce. I mean, don't make me send you a tweet.
Yeah, look, for me, I think the one player that really, I suppose, I'm intrigued about is Michael Carter-Williams. You don't just trade away your all-star point guard. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like they must really see something in this kid. I mean, at 6'6", he's a big guard. There's lots of potential there. But, I mean, to trade away Drew and to thrust the franchise on this kid and him running the point, you know, because essentially that's what they've done. I mean, they must really see something. So
I'll tell you what they see. Andrew Wiggins. Look, I like it because, like you said, he's 6'6". I like a nice-sized point guard like that. And just develop him now. Like,
yeah.
What's there to lose? It's like the Timberwolves should just play Shred and develop him.
Yeah, I don't know, man. 6'6 point guards don't come around too often. And when they do, 9 times out of 10, they don't usually pan out.
Hello, Magic Johnson panned out.
Yeah. Anyone else?
Oh, sorry, he was 6'9".
Anyone else?
In his twilight years.
Anyone?
He played the
past the 2000s.
Point guard.
No, but you see my point, right? Like,
yeah, no, that's a good point, McCoy. That's the first one you've had all night.
I have my moments. I do have my moments.
But look, I'm going to have to, you know, clearly, I'm going to have them lottery bound.
I too have them lottery bound.
Just keep playing the youngsters when you're this bad and trading away your all-stars.
It just feels funny, man. I mean, he...
Playing them, developing
them. He got his extension. Yeah, he made the all-star squad, and then, wow, draft day came around. It was like, they did what now?
And I think Brett Brown's a good coach for Carter Williams to have, you know, when he's got that big responsibility of handling the pill. Because I don't think... From what I remember when he coached here in Australia, he wasn't a screamer. And I just remember the players really, really liking Brett Brown and wanting to play for him, like when he coached the Giants. So,
well, he's paid his dues in San Antonio as well. So
yeah, I just think he's going to live with Carter Williams' mistakes.
Yeah,
and you know, it's development year. He's going to be better for the long season, the run, and the experience. So lottery bound, but hopefully Brett Brown can stick. Hopefully they don't lose too much patience with him. You know, clearly the players tuned out Doug Collins last season, which is annoying because I am a Doug Collins fan. But yeah, lottery bound.
That brings us to the Toronto Raptors, bringing in DJ Augustine, Tyler Hansbrough, Austin Day and Steve Novak, and of course sending out Bargnani, which a lot of Raptor fans were very happy about. Alan Anderson, Linus Klaser, John Lucas III, Petrus, and Bassey.
Look, they've added some decent shooting with as Pumper would say, Novocaine coming in. I like the addition of the size and length of Austin Day. They've added a handy player in Tyler Hansbrough who adds more toughness. But
interesting signing, I thought.
But ultimately, I reckon the improvement will come from the young talent like Jonas Valanciunas.
Valanciunas.
DeMar DeRozan has still got improvement left in him. I think Terry Ross has got improvement. I think they'll benefit from having Rudy Gay completing a full training camp and familiarising himself more with his teammates.
Yeah, I'm
really starting to... And you can't forget the addition of Masai Ujiri. Is that his name? From Denver, the GM?
Last year's GM of the year.
If you're a Raptors fan, you have got to love him coming to the front office.
Yeah, I mean, the moves we've seen already for Toronto, I think, is just... they're headed in the right direction.
Could not agree more.
And you got to love Amir Johnson.
Amir Johnson, another good, tough, solid power forward slash centre who is capable, always rebounds, but he's capable of busting out for a decent scoring game as well.
The thing I love about this Raptors team is just the talent.
What a lot of talent there, mate. What did we run through about 1, 2, 3?
And we didn't even bring up Lowry.
Oh, I've got Lowry in my notes.
Kyle Lowry, I mean... you know, suffered with, you know, back spasms and a torn tricep last year, which, you know, obviously didn't leave him much court time, but he's still one of the toughest point guards in the league.
Yeah, he's an absolute bull terrier point guard. He's tough as nuts, as you would say out there.
Tough as nuts.
Which is just weird.
Still averaged like nearly 9 assists last year, though.
Sorry?
I said he still averaged nearly 9 assists last year.
Oh, yeah, look, I remember when he was playing with the Grizz. Mm-hmm. And I remember watching him going, gee, I don't know if this guy's going to make it. But boy, oh boy, he's obviously put the work in and just turned himself into a really, really nice NBA point guard.
Yeah.
I was having a tweeting back and forth with Audley Stevenson this afternoon. I said to him, I go, Audley, a Raptors making the playoffs. And I had to agree with him. He said, well, they're competing with the Cavs, Detroit, and... I tell you what, I'm doing a McCoy here. I'm sitting on the fence. I'm just not sure.
Nah, I'm with them. I think they're making the playoffs. They're playoff bound. I actually think they might have even snuck in last year if they had a healthy season. I mean,
but you can't have them pass Detroit.
You
now.
Oh, come on. Detroit hasn't proven anything yet.
Dude, come on. They're out of Jennings.
They're better than Milwaukee.
Detroit?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, no, sorry. Raptors are better than Milwaukee.
Yep. Absolutely. I'll give you that.
I think they're making the 7th, 8th seed. I mean, you talk about it. I mean, look, obviously health's going to play a little bit of an issue. You know, if Lowry can have somewhat of a healthy season this year.
Can Valanciunas hold down the centre position?
I think so. But even not, that, you know, that when Valanciunas wasn't in games because of foul trouble and stuff like that.
He's got the backups, doesn't he?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they've still got the bigs there. I mean, Aaron Gray, I mean, yeah, okay, he's, you know, not the best superstar, but he's a big they can throw at him. You know, he was serviceable from last year. You touched on it. A full training camp with a Rudy Gay, DeMar DeRozan, who I just thought last season, you know, to play the way those two played at the tail end of the year, let's face it, they nearly snuck in anyway. You know, some things didn't go their way, but I mean, I just think that scoring punch, I mean, it's going to be tough to stop.
All right, damn it. Playoff bound.
Thank you.
You convinced me.
Oh, thank you. that happens never, guys. Never. Never happens.
You convinced me, and you know, And Rudy Gay's got that chip.
He's going to have his chip on his shoulder. I mean, Jonas Valanciunas, man, he's going to be an all-star someday.
Yeah, I agree with you.
He's getting better and better. If you didn't catch him at the World Games, I mean, do yourself a favor. Go watch some highlights at least. I mean, that kid can really play. I mean, he reminds me a little bit of Gasol. You know, obviously a poor man's Gasol right now, but he's just a beast. And I like the fact that they brought in a guy like Hansborough as well. You know, a little bit more proven, a little bit more polished maybe than Jonas, but you know, not quite as much talent. But, I mean, just the toughness and those two going at each other, plus Amir Johnson, plus the direction of the franchise. They get the All-Star Weekend 2016. They bring in the former GM of the year. I mean, they're talking about, you know, a little bit of a rebrand, but they still want to keep the Raptors, you know, image. I mean, I just think this franchise is set for new... I think 5 years from now, we'll be looking at this Raptors team going, I think it's going to be night and day.
And you forgot Landry Fields.
Of course. My boy.
Who, as Pumper would say again, he had no scrub.
Hey, well, he had a very bad year last year, but...
a lot of injuries, though.
He did an elbow injury, but I think he'll bounce back as well. He's a bit of a do-it-all man, and if he can get back to the form he was playing at in New York before the Melo signing, Raptors fans have got a lot to look forward to this season coming up.
Do you get the sense that, and it probably goes back to what you just said 2 minutes ago, but with Masai Ujiri coming in, do you just get the sense that the whole feel of the franchise has changed?
I really do. Look, on our last minisode, we touched on a little bit, and I really didn't feel like I did the Raptors justice. I think this season, I think the mark's already... when they let Colangelo go, I think that was the mark. That was the turnaround. And when they brought in, you know, the new GM, I thought, mark this day. You know, but for the average casual NBA fan, I think at the end of this season, you're going to look back at the year and go, wow, the Raptors really surprised some teams. Like, they really look like they're turning things around.
See, when they got Ujiri, it makes you just... Look, honestly, to me, you just glance at the Raptors and think, same old Raptors. But then you see, you know, they've landed Ujiri and you're like... And then you take a step back and go, well, they've gotten serious now. Like,
the thing is, though, I think almost like a player in the league, I feel like the Raptors have... You know, well, like a young rookie who just paid their dues, if that makes sense. As a franchise, like, you know, looking back at the Raptors, I mean, they've probably made all the mistakes you can make.
Yeah, that's true.
And I don't feel like they're a franchise that is going to repeat mistakes. I mean, you can't control guys like Bosch and Carter and that, you know, bouncing from Toronto. But what you can control is the culture and the way people look at it. I am higher on the coach than what you are. I know you're not a Dwayne Casey guy.
No, I like him.
I like him. Like, I love listening to him talk. I think he's pretty underrated. The other guy we forgot to talk about too. I mean, you know, I spoke in the Brooklyn segment with Alan Anderson coming from Toronto and what he did for Toronto last year. But I think that move says a lot for the development of last year's slam dunk champ, Terrence Ross. Because that kid's only 22 years old, and, I mean, he's shown last year that he can hit from behind the arc pretty consistently. He's a great athlete. And you know what? If somewhere down the line the money gets a little tight and they have to let a DeRozan or a Rudy Gay go, I could see that kid stepping in to that role much the same as Paul George did in Indiana with Danny Granger.
Well, you know what? All that talent we've been talking about, it's young talent. Raptors fans should be just thanking someone, whoever you believe in.
The next 3 years are going to be great for Raptors fans.
But they should just be thanking someone, whoever they believe in, that Masai Ujiri is overlooking this whole thing. Because if he wasn't in charge, if it was still Colangelo, I don't think this team is looking like it is right now.
Yeah, I don't know. For me, and I don't know how Raptors fans feel about this, you know, I don't think Colangelo did a horrible job at all.
Look, there's been worse GMs like MLK.
But I just sort of think that, I mean, already, you know, with Massa, I think that you're already starting to see results. Like, you're already starting to see change. I mean, that doesn't happen often. Like, he just feels like a doer and, you know, not a procrastinator. And just, you're already starting to see things start to unfold for you. And I just think
he's a franchise uplifter. I mean, he strikes me as the guy who, the minute he walks through the door, the place changed.
Yeah.
Like everyone from the boot starter up just went, we're going somewhere now. We can just, you know, they could sense it almost.
Do you think,
one thing about the coach, Casey, I'm not a fan. I think he's a career assistant. I would never hire him as a head coach.
Yeah.
If there's a better coach out there, and there is, and you know exactly who I mean, Lionel Hollins.
Not bad.
Hire him. That's it. Next move. Get rid of Casey.
Wow. Yeah. I'm not there yet. I like what Casey's done, and I like the fact that he preaches D. And Raptors defensively last year weren't as bad as you may think. Go check the numbers. I'm not going to go through them all, but yeah, not as bad as you think defensively. Like he got that group playing D.
Well,
so
yeah.
Hey.
Well done, Dwayne. Well
Look, done. They'll play more D than LA. They'll play more D than the Lakers last year, Vince. That was low, wasn't it?
That's a low blow. But sorry. True.
But honest. Now, that brings the Atlantic Division to a close. There are predictions, guys. Can't wait to hear your thoughts. What I will say is that why don't we let the courtside members let us know what division they want to hear about next. So we've done the Atlantic. You know, you've got the Central and the Southeast left in the East. Or we could jump to the Western Conference with the Southwest, Northwest, and Pacific divisions. So for all the courtside members out there, jump onto the Facebook page, All Caps Courtside, and let us know what division you want us to hear about next show, and we will take a tally, and you'll be hearing it. Boom. And of course, you can catch all the Courtside Madness at the website www.crtsde.com or swing by Facebook, All Caps Courtside. The Courtside Podcast is available at Odman Media, www.theodman.com. Search the Courtside Podcast on both Podomatic and iTunes. Download, subscribe, tell your friends, leave a review for us, guys. We love it all. We're also available on Twitter and Instagram at CRTSDE. Been loving the feedback, guys. Keep it coming. The season is just on its way. We're so close. You can nearly taste it. And for all the fans out there, enjoy your 2K throughout the week. Vince. Been emotional.
Yes.
Here it comes.
Watch out. Oh.